Welcome to the Worst of the Best podcast. You wanted the best. Well, they didn't freaking make it! So here's what you get. From Canada, Ryan and
Jason.
Welcome to the Worst of the Best podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me today is Jason, my brother. How you doing?
Doing good, brother. Happy to be back with you.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And we were, you know, discussing what should we do. We go through some of our topics and ideas. It's a non-music one that we wanted to tackle this time around. And just as a quick reminder, this will be the last new episode for about 4 months until about Christmas, everybody. Myself, Ryan, I am deploying at the time of this recording in 1 week. I will not be able to record any episodes of The Worst of the Best while I am gone. So if you're new to the podcast and you enjoy what we're doing today, go back and listen to some of the other topics in our feed that might be of interest to you. Lots of topics, lots of episodes, so we invite you to listen to that or listen to those episodes. To, you know, subscribe to the feed. So when I do come back, and Jason and I know Ruben has already said that he'll come on for our yearly celebrity death episode. So I want to plug that right now. I think the next episode, it'll be a fun one to return to because it'll be at the end of the year when we record again. It'll be our sixth annual celebrity death episode, which really is our most favorite episodes to do. Actually, I think it might be the seventh. Sixth or seventh. It's crazy. Okay. Jason, board games. We did a lot of board game playing as kids because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have video games the way kids do today. So I will say that you and I and our cousins and friends, we did a lot of board game playing growing up.
We did. There was a lot of time on our hands that was spent doing other things than just video games and surfing the internet. So our time was spent watching probably a little bit more TV and playing board games.
All right, so let's get right into it. So what Jason and I have done is we've compiled what we think are the best board games out there. Most of them are, you know, I would say classics. So this isn't necessarily a classics, but I would say the majority of them are classics. And we also wanted to make sure there were games that Jason and I have personally played and understand, thus we can speak to it. So we've compiled the list of the best board games in history. And at the end of this list, independent of each other, we don't know the answer yet, we are going to say which game is the worst. So if you're trapped on a deserted island with these 22 games, which one do you have to get rid of? Which is the worst of these best games? I think people will agree the games that we've picked, Jason, the games that we've selected are definite highlights. And there are many that we missed. Either A, we didn't play. So if you're listening, you go, where's that one? Where's that one? Well, either Jason and I have never played it. We can't speak to it. Or we'll get to a couple of them that they kind of fall into the same category. A lot of them, you know, have sprung a lot of different like cousins or brother and sister versions of the same game. Okay. So Jay, why don't you start with number one?
Cards Against Humanity. Now, this isn't one that we grew up playing.
No.
But it has, in more recent years, become a classic hit.
Yes.
Especially amongst adults. Right. And I have to say, there is a resurgence in board games. Cards Against Humanity is one of those games that has really pushed games back into the social circle. I would probably sadly suggest that during this last year and a half because of the pandemic, maybe board games have suffered in sales. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were riding pretty high. But now as people get back together and socialize, maybe this is one of those games that they are pulling out again to enjoy. The game basically consists of picking out cards that have blanks in them, like a sentence with a blank.
Right.
And then people fill in the blank with a word based on other cards that they have in their hand. It'd be like John blank with Jim and Jane.
That's right.
And then you'll have random five cards that will have random words on it.
Like making pizza in bed or, you know, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, it'll be random words or phrases.
Right.
And then you pick one and then everybody gets to pick something to put in their blank. Whoever has the one that people enjoy the most gets the points. I mean, that's the general gist of it.
You're playing simply for the laughter.
So right.
You award 1 point for each winning white card to see who has the best at being
and
best. People select what they think is the funniest answer that a player, and it's done without anyone knowing who made that funny joke. That way there's no bias. You know, you're just literally whatever one is the most funny.
Whichever one you choose as the person being it, whatever which hand you choose to be the funniest is the one that, you know, will get the points. Now, the blanks that are filled are often filled with more adult humor type of suggestions. So definitely a game amongst adults.
You got to leave your prudeness at home. This is for fun, and it's harmless. Nobody's getting hurt. And the answers are made by the company, so you're not putting in anything that the card company isn't providing. So
is that your loophole?
What I'm getting at is you can't be more crass or not crass than what the card company
provides.
And
the game?
Yeah.
The game makers? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Number two, this is a popular one, Jason, that you and I played a lot as a kid. Trivial Pursuit. So put your knowledge to the test with this classic game. There are more than 2,000 questions covering, you know, anything from sports and leisure, science and nature, art and culture, geography, entertainment, which is, of course, everyone's favorite, and history. So players travel around the wheel-shaped game board and answer questions from these different categories. So the color squares along with the game path denote which category to pull from. So if you answer a question right, you get to go again. Collect one pie-shaped game piece when you land on each category hub. Be the first player to make it to the center of the board where you must answer one final question to win. And if you don't feel like getting out of the board, you can always just answer the questions for fun. So the beauty of this game is you can literally just sit around, and if you don't want to play the piece version, you can say, hey, let's just test each other's trivia. Let's just sit around and talk about geography, history. You're basically compiling, like, what information have you gleaned through your life up to this point? Because this, of course, was made before cell phones and everything, so you got to put your cell phones down, ladies and gentlemen, no cheating. But this is just a way of gauging, you know, what has each individual gleaned throughout their life. And this is another game that kind of exposes people who just don't learn anything.
I haven't played this game in a long time. It would be very interesting to play this now, many years later. It's been years since I've played it. We played it lots when we were younger. Be interesting to play it again, but this, like you say, put the cell phones down and see what I have retained or lost over the years. And I'm sure the questions have been updated.
I have a Nintendo Switch, and one of the games I bought was Trivial Pursuit for the Switch.
Oh, okay.
And I play online against other people. I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but I usually win games against other individuals.
Interesting.
And of course, the questions have been updated for modern day, you know, entertainment and past stuff too.
Of course, you have the, you know, the information years ago isn't irrelevant anymore, but it'd be interesting to see what type of questions, you know, since the 80s and 90s through the 2000s have been now used as a Trivial Pursuit question.
Right.
Number three here, Apples to Apples, another card game. This one, though, is more family friendly. A much younger audience can participate and enjoy the experience. So you have like a green, air quotes, cards, but like green apples and red apples. The green apple cards have adjectives on them and a set of red apples, which have nouns on them. And each round, a new player gets to judge and presents a green apple card to the group. And the rest of the players select one of the red apple cards from their hands to play. Sometimes the nouns match the adjective perfectly. Sometimes they make no sense at all. And sometimes they are downright hysterical. Now, once everybody's contributed, the judge chooses a favorite. Now, depending on your group, you could play just for fun or designate a set number of rounds and see who can play the most winning cards at a time. So it's a very simple game. It can be very funny. And what's nice is that if you have a younger family in a social environment, most, you know, if you have a reading level of grade 4 and up, can participate.
I would say 12-ish, maybe a smart 10 or 11-year-old. But 12 is kind of the number where, where they can kind of join in and get the humor and be clever. Good memory here, Jay, as you can remember. It was actually about 11 years ago. We were at a family reunion. It was actually Becky's first family reunion with us. We played Apples to Apples, and it was fun with the nieces and nephews and the brothers and the uncles and everyone and the aunts all getting together. And I remember everyone, especially our kids, your kids, my kids, they were that age group. They were 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever.
Yeah.
All that kind of perfect age to watch our kids just laugh and have fun. And 11 years later, all that's gone. They're all adults now. They don't care about us anymore. I have a good memory with that game in that moment, so I just wanted to share that. All right, number four, Pictionary. Everyone knows Pictionary. It's a party game, again, that's suitable for all ages. Teams take turns drawing and guessing as many words or phrases as possible in a timed round. Now, you might think a game of drawing sounds easy, but this game can be more difficult than it seems, especially when your drawing skills suck and you're on the clock.
I am not an artist. I could barely print my name, let alone try and describe a word using pictures. But anyways.
Yeah, so you got players who take turns drawing things like, you know, buck teeth or sand trap for their teammates to guess. And who knows, they can, the buck would be hard. Like, teeth everyone could get, but the buck part, right? You'd be like, teeth, dentist, dentist chair. It's fun because you can't say anything. You just do these crazy gestures with your hands. Like, no. All right, buddy.
Let's just say nobody wants me on their team.
That's true.
I'm going to be the last one picked. I could do a pretty good job at guessing the words, I think, but trying to draw and help my team in that way, no. It can be a very fun game.
Number five.
Okay, the classic, Yahtzee. We love that there's no limit to how many people can play in the fun game of Yahtzee, the dice game where it's all about luck of the roll. So that is a bonus to this game. Yeah. It's just, there's no real strategy at all. You just hope the roll of the dice works in your favor. Each round, players receive three opportunities to roll up to five dice. After each roll, you can just evaluate the dice and choose which, if any, you want to roll again. You're looking for a pattern that will work for one of the 13 possible Yahtzee categories. So you have a piece of paper that you're keeping track of your rolls. And at the end of your turn, you choose which category you'll use for that round and tally the score accordingly. You can only use a category once per game, so you got to choose carefully. If you land all five dice on the same number, it's called a Yahtzee. You know, the classic, yeah. Yahtzee! Yell it out. At 50 points, a Yahtzee is the highest possible score you can roll. Play up to 13 rounds and then tell your scores. The player with the highest score wins. So a very simple concept, can be fast-paced. Literally, it's just luck, which for somebody like me, makes it a fun game to play.
Definitely is a lot of luck. The strategy is...
Categories.
Yeah, but it's still luck. So if I decide that I'm going to use this roll for these numbers for this column in the Yahtzee game, let's say I'm going to use my four fours now, but then you roll. Yeah, it's always about luck, but you're also choosing. So, yeah.
No, you're right, though.
Yeah, I'm not explaining very well. There's no strategy because at the end of the day, you could always just not roll or roll what you need.
So you never know what you're going to roll in the future. Yeah. So you're rolling the dice on what category you decide to fill in first.
And we used to play this all the time with our cousins again and Vernon. And so good memories there as well in the summer days.
And one, and a two, and a three. You scoop, rock 'em, and roll. Oh, howdy. You scoop, rock 'em, and roll.
Yahtzee, the dice rolling strategy game you play like cards. Roll yourself a hand, then roll to make it better. Try to score high in every frame. Go for the bonus points and wild scoring jokers.
Yahtzee!
Yahtzee, triple Yahtzee, and word Yahtzee from E.S. Lowe.
Yeah, I kind of miss those days. I don't know. So simple.
I know, those are so fun. Those commercials are just so...
Okay, number six, Sorry. This is another game that's kind of... Yeah, it's a bit of the luck of the roll again. This is definitely for a smaller audience, but this is one where, a younger audience. This is definitely one to play with your kids.
This is a game that I remember from way back, like the youngest of young games that we would play.
It's similar to the game Trouble, too. So yeah. If you land on a space that is already occupied by another player's pawn, that pawn is sent back to the start. The other way that you create a setback is by drawing one of the deck's four sorry cards. If this happens, you can select any one of your opponent's pawns to return to start. This is where people get really mad because you're like, sorry. This is where you get mad because you sit and people are like, why do you keep sending me back? And this can get pretty brutal with kids and stuff because you keep getting
sorry.
Sorry. You win by being the first to get all four of your pawns home. A scoring system exists if you wish to play multiple rounds of the game as well. Basically, all the pawns begin in their respective start spaces and players then take turns drawing from a deck of 44 cards to see where their pawns will end up. So this is, again, a little bit of luck. But when you draw the sorry card, this is where you basically, send a buddy home.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Can you do me a favor? Can you Google when Sorry was first came out?
Let's check out the commercial first here.
Sorry. Hot Pursuit. It's the name of the game.
Sorry.
Sorry from Parker Brothers.
Sorry.
Game made by Canadians.
Oh?
No, it's a joke because we always say sorry.
I know.
Oh, okay. Sorry. William H. Story filed for a patent for the game in England where it was registered as a trademark on 21st of May 1929. It was subsequently sold in the United Kingdom by Waddington's, a British game manufacturer, in 1930. They basically sold it for $34. So you got it patented in 29. 1929, but it became available to the public in 1934.
That's amazing. That's very cool.
Yeah. Number seven.
Yeah, here we go. Talking about old school. This is old school here. Chutes and Ladders. It's a race to the finish in this classic childhood game where good deeds take you far and naughty behaviors will set you back. The Chutes and Ladders game board contains 100 squares and depicts a series of ladders and slides. Each ladder represents a good deed and its rewards, but every slide represents the consequences of bad behavior. Every player starts in the first square, and the spinner dictates how many spaces a player can advance from there. If you're lucky, you'll land on the base of a good deed ladder, which you can climb, advancing extra spaces. But if you're not so lucky, you'll land at the top of a slide and have to go down, and will set you back quite a bit. The first player to the 100 squares wins.
Again, this is for very young audiences because no strategy. It's all luck. There's nothing you can do. You spin the wheel or roll the dice, but expect tantrums when they go down.
When they land at the top of the slide?
Yeah, it's exactly it. Hey, and then you can teach them, hey, welcome to life, which is a bit of a spoiler alert for later. Okay. Uno. All you need to play for this fun family game is an Uno card deck. There are no marbles, spinners, or game pieces required, which makes this quick to clean up. Great to take on the go. I've taken this game on family trips. So that's absolutely true. So the Uno deck contains 108 cards, 25 cards each in one of four colors, plus eight special action cards like skip or reverse. So players take turns matching a card from their hand by number or color to the card in the middle of the game. So players replenish their hands by pulling from the draw deck until there are no cards remaining. So when a player has just one card left, they get to call out Uno as a warning to the other players, which in our opinion is one of the best parts of the game. It is fun to do that when you get down to that last card, you know what's coming, and you just say Uno.
Yeah, yeah.
And some people play that if you don't call Uno before you put down your last card, your second last card, that you have to pick up eight cards or something weird like that. I don't know if that's a made-up rule or...
Right. I guess trying to forewarn people that you're going to win, but...
Right. Or you have one card left, yeah. Yeah. Jay, have you ever played number nine?
I have. And in fact, I listened to a podcast with the person who made Jenga.
Wow.
Very interesting. Her story of how Jenga came to be. A little bit of a struggle, as most of these games, I'm sure, at the very beginning.
Sure. Yeah.
Interesting insight in how the process goes for games and how long it can take to build up steam and become popular. But that's what she does. She has a company with her daughter. Her daughter was also on the podcast, and they design and publish games. It is one of the highest selling games of all time, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if anybody's living under a rock and doesn't know what Jenga is, the rules are simple and straightforward. And whether you're playing solo or with a whole group of folks, this game is always full of suspenseful fun. Setup is quick. Build a tower from the small 54 wooden blocks provided, 3 blocks wide by 18 blocks high. Players then take turns removing one block from within the tower and placing it back on the top. Cross your fingers and hold your breath as the tower grows taller and more unstable with every move. See how many rounds you can go before the tower comes crashing down. The last person to successfully place a block before the tower crumbles is considered the winner.
Leslie Scott is the creator, and she's only worth between 1 and 5 million, which I thought maybe she'd be worth more. She's 65, so this is... And I just say that as a reference. I guess I thought it was an older game is what I'm getting at. So I'm surprised that the creator is younger than
I can't recall when it was made, but it's fairly new. You know, it's not 1929, obviously. I want to say mid-80s. You remember seeing the commercials coming out for Jenga? Mid to late 80s?
Was it Jenga? Wasn't that how it went?
Yeah. And everybody watches it crash and they're, you know, grabbing their
feet. You always get that one person, and I was probably like one of them, whereas you kind of want to watch it fall.
You want to be the architect of the chaos.
That's right. It's like, I think kids nowadays will just knock it over on purpose.
Jenga. You take a block from the bottom and you put it on top. You take a block from the middle and you put it on top. That's how you build a tower. You just don't stop. You gotta build that tower putting blocks on top. And it teeters and it totters as you build it all up. It weebles and it wobbles, but you don't give up. You take a block from the bottom and you put it on top. You take a block from the middle and you put it on top. Till someone knocks it over and that's when you stop. But you start all over putting blocks on top.
Jenga. Oh, I can't even believe I remember some of the lyrics of that commercial.
I remembered everything. As he was singing, I was remembering the whole thing.
It was a wrap, eh? Because this came out in the 80s, so they had to use...
Yes, when I was saying Jenga, I'm like, they were capitalizing on the hip-hop and rap that was coming out at the time. They're very early, and I bet that was a massive success in marketing, key to marketing that game.
Absolutely, yeah.
That stuck in people's brain. Yes, Jenga.
And speaking of catchy commercial jingles for games, let me just play this one.
Yeah.
Because this one has the best, I think it has the best commercial and theme song. Here we go.
If you want to win the game, you gotta take a good aim and get the most marbles with your hippo. Playing Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Hey!
Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Hooray! Hungry, Hungry Hippos is the name of the game, and whose ever hippo gets the most marbles wins.
Got it. Playing Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Hungry, Hungry Hippos from Hasbro.
You and I saw that commercial hundreds of times. In fact, I remember that kid's face. I win. I just want to punch him every time. You little snotty.
Okay, so we did have that game at some point.
There's a couple problems with this game. It's such a breakable game because you're just pounding on those hippos, right? So the idea is you got these marbles on this plastic little platform with these plastic, cheap plastic hippo levers, and their mouths open up and clamp down on the marbles. And it's just a chaotic game because you got the kids just smashing as hard as they can. The marbles go flying everywhere and you lose them. You end up having like four marbles left after a week.
Yes, like the harder I hit the hippo, the more successful I'm going to be. Rather than speed.
Yeah, you're right. It should just but if you go back, we hit it hard. You got a four-year-old smashing this thing. But this was a fun game. Like if you had this game, it was a lot of fun. But it just never lasted very long.
No, and every time I saw the commercial, like if you didn't have the game, you wanted the game.
Oh, yeah, you wanted
You're hoping game. You can get the game. It's a classic game of fun. It is fun. It's funnier now than actual fun. But
I just look at the pieces on the commercial. It's so cheap. Oh, it's such a cheap product.
All right. Okay, here's another beauty coming in at number 11, Operation. The poor patient in Operation sure has a lot of ailments. Writer's cramp, water on the knee, and brain freeze are just the start. In this game, you get to be the doctor, and it's your job to relieve the patient by removing all 13 of his ailments. The retrieval process can be tricky, though. You have to use a pair of tweezers to remove the small plastic ailments, and if you miss and hit the size of the patient, the game buzzes, and another player, the specialists, get to try. If you can successfully remove the item indicated by the game cards, you get paid for your good work. After all the operations have been completed, the doctor with the most money wins.
Not made in Canada. Doctors don't get more money with the more operations they do. But that being said, yeah, this is a game that I don't think we ever did. We ever own this game, but I know we played it.
I played it. I don't know if we owned it.
I don't think we owned it because this is anything that required batteries, we didn't own. <It's joking. laughs> Yeah, this game was fun to play as a kid. It was always very stressful, and I always felt like I was going to get electrocuted. I don't know why I thought I was going to get electrocuted with that metal. The buzzes scared me. I don't know why it startled me. I seem to recall being quite loud as a kid, but now that I'm older.
It is quite loud, and it is meant to startle you. It's supposed to make you feel bad for failing in your operation. In a game like Jenga, some people might secretly want to be the person that crumbles the game. But in Operation, you really don't want to be the one that has that. The buzzer go off.
I always loved it. It was that middle-aged looking guy, the naked guy on the operating, like his private parts are covered up by his belly. It's a naked play. Like it's a naked character on this operation table.
Okay, let's operate. Where's the dog?
It's Operation, the wacky doctor's game where you're the wacky doctor. Battery's not included.
See, battery's not included.
My turn.
Take out asparagus for $100.
It takes a steady hand because if you touch the side.
Yeah.
There goes his fanny band. Don't get nervous.
I did it. That's $200.
Operation, a game from Milton Bradley.
The ones that were a little bit trickier, like a little bit thinner, like the space was thinner, so you get a higher cash reward. So there you go. Yeah. All right. Number 12, Twister. Now, Twister will, as the box promises, Jason, will have you twisted up in knots and probably doubled over laughing, too. So to play, place the game's large vinyl mat on the floor, and that mat was terrible. It always got crippled up, and it never quite stayed flat. So the mat has four rows of different colored dots and a cardboard spinner broken up into quadrants that dictates what body part goes onto what colored dot. So you can find yourself in a downward dog, or you might find yourself with someone's rump in your face. but you have to hold that position no matter how strange it might seem or creepy. You'll definitely be eliminated if you fall, but you also risk elimination if someone catches you resting a knee or an elbow on the mat. So you have to see who can hold themselves longest and become the Twister champion. I never played Twister very much. I feel like it's a game that teenagers like to play because they get to like accidentally grope somebody. I hate to say, but I feel like I never played it really as a kid, but I feel like it's kind of like a youth game where it's, oh, my elbow's in your boob. This is part of the game, but you kind of like knew you were touching a girl. Come on. Didn't we all know that when we were teenagers?
It is a teenager game. Innocence at about 6 to 10.
Yeah, and then it gets a little bit.
Like 11 to 12. To about 15. Yeah, this is an excuse to be close to the to the person you're attracted to. I didn't play a lot. It is a classic game. It was at parties.
It's a party game.
It is a party game. Definitely for younger crowd. I suppose people play it when they're older too.
Sure. But it's like, oh, I fell on you. Oh, we all fall on each other. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Connect Four.
What kid doesn't love a quick game of Connect Four?
I don't know.
All you need to do is take turns with something.
What?
I mean, the giggles there for a second. All you need to do is take turns with another player.
What's going on here?
All you need to do is take turns with another player dropping tokens into the open slots of the games.
All right.
Giggles.
Oh, yeah, it's the giggles, all right. Yeah, a little chuckles there.
Okay, to win, connect four of your colored tokens as quickly as possible, whether horizontally, vertically, or diagonally. You'll want to be sure to keep an eye on the other player, too. If they have three in a row, you just might need to use your next turn to drop a strategically placed token to prevent them from connecting four of their own. You think that with 42 slots for tokens, it would be easy to connect four, but with a worthy adversary, there's a chance it will come to a draw. No matter the outcome, we bet you can't just play one round.
We played this a lot as a kid. This was another one where it's a little bit frustrating, though. It's kind of like tic-tac-toe. Once you get, if you got two kind of equally smart players, you just like draw every time. If you can just do one or two moves ahead in your own mind, and you got both players able to see that. So this is a game where you have to have, you can't have a 12-year-old playing against a 6-year-old is what I'm saying. Like you kind of have to be the same level of intelligence to foresee moves. So I guess it goes for a lot of games, but you get what I'm saying. It's a
yeah, you don't want to be the older brother playing the younger brother.
Right.
Because that younger brother is going to be crying at the end of every round. The 12-year-old versus the 6-year-old. That just doesn't work.
This was another game that was very popular in the 80s when we were kids.
The name of the game is Connect Four.
Gotcha. Four cross. One more game.
Object, connect four of your checkers in a row while preventing your opponent from doing the same. But look out, your opponent can sneak up on you and win the game.
I won.
Where? I can't.
Here, diagonally.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Connect Four, the vertical checkers game from Milton Bradley.
So the next one on our list is checkers. But Jason, an audience, don't let this simple look of the game fool you. There could be a lot of excitement in a game of checkers. So you and your opponent, as most people know, are responsible for 12 uniform game pieces, usually black and red, which allow you to move diagonally across an 8x8 checkerboard. Maneuver a piece all the way across the board, and you get the crown, crown it as a queen. So then you can jump in an opponent's piece, and you get to capture to remove it from play. So basically to win, you capture all of your opponent's checkers, or position your pieces in such a way that there are no available moves for the player. So checkers is relatively easy to learn, making it a great way to introduce younger players to games of strategy.
It's a simple game, but boy, it is quite strategic. And as you get older, your mind matures and you start seeing the strategy involved in the game. Yeah, it can be pretty competitive.
So yeah, checkers is the precursor to the next one on our list, Jason. You want to go over that one?
Right, yeah. So chess, right? When a game has endured as long as chess has, we're talking nearly 1,500 years, you know it's worth playing. In this classic two-player game, you and your opponent have the same 16 pieces to maneuver across 64 square game board, with the ultimate goal to checkmate your opponent's king piece. Game pieces consist of pawns, rooks, bishops, knights, and queen, and a king, and there are different rules about how each piece can move. The best piece of advice we can give for this game is to take a step back and assess the whole situation before making a big move. Chess is also a pretty good metaphor for life. So 1,500 years and it's still not going anywhere.
No, it's not going anywhere. It's a passionate game. People that play this game are passionate about this game. You can play it online, of course, which is amazing. With the internet now, people are playing it like crazy. Tournaments worldwide.
People versus computers.
Yeah, they've done that. Of course, Bobby Fischer. It's been made movies about it. Real life stories. And I was actually part of the chess club as a kid. And I remember being a part of the chess club and kind of feeling... I don't care if you think I'm a nerd, but I'm a part of this smart club. When I was 8 years old, I think it was between 8 and 10, so I was fairly young, and I remember thinking, I'm smart enough, as I thought myself at the time, I'm smart enough to be a part of the chess club, that I understand all the rules, and I can play this game. Now, I wasn't very good at it, but half of chess is just knowing the rules, quite frankly, knowing how the pieces operate. And you also have like different types of chess, speed chess, where you have a certain amount of time to make a move, which makes you think quicker on your feet. I kind of like that, right? You got to punch in quickly, and otherwise people who played online, you could like do one move and the person could respond like days later with their move. So really interesting game. Obviously, what I also love about chess is some incredible, throughout the years you've seen this, but some incredible chess boards and game pieces, real beautiful artwork could be made into this game.
Hey, can we see where was it invented?
Well, I would say, I guess it's British because of the pieces.
Yeah, unless it's been adopted somehow.
So chess emerged in Southern Europe during the second half of the 15th century after evolving from the similar but much older games of Indian and Persian origin. That's kind of the chess we know today.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah.
Now, here's one that, I almost didn't put on the list, but I have fond memories because this is a game that I remember our dad teaching us how to play. And I remember our dad loved this game and he played it quite... I seem to recall he played it all the time, either with our mom or with his brothers. I remember thinking that the backgammon is what we're talking about. I just remember how cool it looked. It was like a little briefcase.
Yes, the backgammon kit.
The backgammon suitcase little kit. And yeah. It had a velvet felt game board inside, and then the pieces were smooth and slick.
Yeah, and all polished.
And yeah, it's just a really slick looking game. So the playing area consists of 24 triangles of alternating colors and a bar down the middle of the board. So to play, you're responsible for moving a set of 15 checkers around the board with moves dictated by the rolling of two dice. So the first player to successfully cast off or remove all his or her checkers from the game wins. Backgammon is a two-person game that definitely requires strategy, but there's a little bit of luck, of course, involved as well. I just have fond memories of the game. I just remember thinking, I remember when my dad taught me how to play, I thought, I can understand an older person game. Having quite fun playing with it with my brothers as well. I just love the aesthetics of the game. I just love how it looked and the game pieces and the board. I thought that was the coolest thing.
I agree. I have very similar impressions in my mind looking back at the game. I would have to be reminded how to play it today to be proficient. I think it was Dad that played it the most. I believe it'd be like his game board. I also thought it was cool to see it resurrected in the TV series Lost. Remember the first season? I think the first couple when Locke would play the game. So anyway.
No, it's good. Yeah, I remember that. I've only watched that one time. I think it's one I got to rewatch, Lost.
Oh, yeah, I rewatched most of it a couple years ago.
Nice.
It's amazing when you can binge watch it.
Right.
How fast it goes and how quickly they jump into the backstories of these individuals.
Right.
Because before we watched it, it'd be like every week, once a week. But now you can watch it back to back to back to back or however you want to watch it. And it was surprising how quickly they went through people's backstories and how quick that transitioned to backstory storytelling. Anyway, so Risk, long gameplay.
Yeah.
You got to be committed to this.
Yes. You have to set aside a night. You're saying you and your buddies, you and your gal pals, buddies, mixture of both, whatever. But you got to be real. I'm going to be honest here.
Your snacks.
You got to have food. Yeah, you're snacking because you're waiting for your turn. You can't rush your player, your competition, or your opponent, sorry.
So the whole premise of the game is to feel what it's like to rule the world. In this game, a map of the world is spread out on the game board, and all the continents are broken up into territories. The end goal is for one player to conquer all 42 territories and eliminate the other players along the way. But first, a little diplomacy is required to get there, make alliances, and then break alliances as you slowly start to conquer more territory, but be cautious. If you're willing to break an alliance, then you know your opponents will be too.
It's interesting to talk about the alliances, Jason, because it's true. This is a game where there's no rules about that. You can literally look at the person across from you and say, you know what, you and I, we're to work together. And the players can't stop that. So you kind of have to have gentleman rules, as they call it, meaning you can't tag up and pour little, like, Joey every time, you know, like all three of you, or if you got four or five of you playing. But the idea is you, when you form alliances, you do it within the realm of the game without being silly about it. But you can be like, oh man, I'm struggling here. And you'd be like, okay, if you promise not to attack me or something, like, let me build, you know, you can do stuff like that. It's what makes the game kind of fun is you play with people's real personalities and alliances can be formed and there's no rules against it. You just say, yeah, I want to attack your land for a bit. Or it's an interesting psychological game. I played quite a bit back in the day and you can get kind of heated, so make sure you choose your friends wisely, too. Speaking of battles, Battleship. You think my Battleship. Remember that?
Of course.
It's like,
I mean, half the popularity of this game was the commercials that advertised that phrase, you sank my Battleship. I mean, the only reason you played was so you can say that phrase.
Battleship. 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 Milton Bradley's great game of strategy. It's loaded with action and suspense. Play it anytime, anywhere.
B4, hit. J1, huh, commit. J10, oh, you sunk my Battleship.
I love the kid drowns. Yeah, you sank my Battleship. But I would always put all my pieces together, all my fleet together, like the bottom corner. But like, everything together, all together. It throw people like, what is going on? Like, they go all over the map, right? And once they figure it out, they just sit there and nuke you. But you could go quite a while putting all your pieces in one little area. Because they're going throughout the board trying to... Where are you? The bee gets so mad, but once they hit you, you're done. It lasts for a little bit. You can only do it about once before they figure out that strategy.
What's good about that game is you can play that in the car.
Yeah.
Road trips.
Good like game. The commercial said, Jason, anytime, anywhere. Those kids are playing
anytime, anywhere.
Those kids were playing exactly. On a dock. This is when the kid fell back in the water. And that's what we're talking about there.
Oh, Scrabble. Who has not ever played Scrabble?
Yeah, we don't have to explain the rules of this.
This is
one.
Like...
Yeah. This is a big game for our family, Jay.
You know, we would play this at every family reunion. There'd be boards all over the place, yeah. All over the tables, aunts, uncles, cousins, siblings, all weekend long, all family reunion long. And I think we also had like awards. There was like championships.
It was serious business. This is our mom's side
it
of the
was
family.
Very serious.
Yeah. Our mom's mom, our grandma... She was the Scrabble yes. champion. She was ruthless. This was no joke for her. Her energy and competition level is crazy. Like, yeah, she took off her grandma mantle when you played. No mercy.
Yeah. Classic memories, classic gameplay. It's still an enjoyable game.
All right. So the next one, this was one of the more fun games, but I remember playing the Game of Life with my brothers, my parents, and this game was just fascinating. Lots. I love the board. It was kind of like the board was cool. I like the little cards.
A lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. You know, you choose your career. If kid Ryan saw adult Ryan right now, I wonder if he would be thinking Ryan's winning the Game of Life.
Let's say the Game of Life was more enjoyable than life.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. The idea that being an adult would be so much fun. I think, yeah. I wonder how our parents thought about playing this game with us. Like, they're the adults. And they're playing this with the kids. They're like, yeah, yeah. But you get like a job and in the game. And of course, the better the job, the better your pay. So basically, the premise of the game is to go through life making smart decisions. And eventually, the player who retires first with the most money wins. So it's a great game for kids to learn about life lessons in an approachable way. And it's also sparked some good conversations when you play together as a family. And I'm sure it did back when we did. I'm sure we talked about doctors, lawyers, teachers. All those stuff were available. And I think if I remember correctly, depending on your career path, you could get to life quicker. So I think if you were a teacher, you got to kind of start doing other things before the doctor who had to pay back the loans or something. So there's pros and cons to doing the quote-unquote doctor career versus maybe a teacher or a layman job. Very interesting game, and I think it's a lot of fun.
I enjoy this game. Been a long time since I've played this game that we're going to talk about.
I know. It has been a long time, but this is a great – I think this is a game that
– This is a great game.
Yeah.
Clue. Clue's that suspenseful murder mystery game that turns everyone into a detective. There's been a murder in the Bodie Mansion, and it's up to you to find the culprit. There are only six suspects, and you are one of them. Move your game pieces through the rooms and secret passageways of the mansion depicted on the game board to look for clues. Who murdered poor Mr. Bodie? What weapon was used and where did the incident take place? The more clues you find, the more you'll be able to narrow down the many possible answers to those questions. It's a race against your fellow players to be the first to put all the pieces of the mystery together. No matter what your age, it's always a thrill when you finally solve the crime.
Professor Plum in the library with the candlestick.
Candlestick.
Like, it's always
Why is it always the candlestick?
It's a candle. I guess it's a blunt object. You're cracking the skull open. Yeah, fun times. Great game. A lot of fun. And yeah. And here's the classic, the big one. I don't think it's going to be on your or my list as the worst. But I did save it for last on purpose because it's the one that I have the most memories and probably the one I played the most in my life, hands down, Monopoly. So the first official Monopoly game hit the market in 1935, and this game of buying property has been creating real estate titans ever since. We all know how it works. It's an incredible game. I don't know if you've heard of that comedian called Dane Cook. He did a great little bit about Monopoly, which I quite enjoyed.
Monopoly. There's another one we had. We had Monopoly. Everybody did. Nobody liked it. Everybody had it. Nobody, even if you think you liked the game, you didn't. And it's simple why, ready? Because this is anybody here 2.5 hours into a game of Monopoly, ready? This game! It's 4 a.m, Grandma. You win! I'm sitting on Baltic with crack! I'm paying luxury tax out the ass. And I hate when you're the banker. Where'd you get the pink 50s, you cheating whore? Don't touch me, Grandpa. Nana is a cheating whore! And I should cut your head off with this little doggy. We were so poor growing up, that little iron, we had to actually use that little iron. It's not funny. It takes a long time to iron a shirt with that tiny little iron.
So, yeah, because poor Dave Cook, he's had kind of a rough time since his beginning days as a comedian. But I always loved that bit about Monopoly. And it's kind of true. You get some people who just can't handle either losing. But it's a game where if you get, again, like-minded people with the same kind of temperament you have, this is a game like Risk. You could sit on going through that board paying rent for a long time. No one's ready to make that big move. Who's going to be the first one to kind of like, all right, I'm putting all my eggs in one basket on Baltic Avenue or Pennsylvania Avenue or something like that. But yeah, I love
Park Avenue.
Yeah. I love getting Boardwalk and Park Avenue. People are always, oh, nobody ever lands on it. Like, yeah, they will, and they do. So it's great when you get that Boardwalk hotel up. That's the king of all things, yeah. All right, well, Jason, let's go through the list really quickly here for our audience and for ourselves. And Cards Against Humanity, Trivial Pursuit, Apples to Apples, Pictionary, Yahtzee, Sorry, Chutes and Ladders, Uno, Jenga, Hungry Hungry Hippos, Operation, Twister, Connect Four, Checkers, Backgammon, Chess, Risk, Battleship, Scrabble, Monopoly, Clue, and the Game of Life. You have all these games, 22 games in total. You get to take them to the deserted island for the rest of your life, but you have to get rid of one of them. Which one is it going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be Connect Four.
I kind of feel like, you know, people might be saying, well, why'd you guys put that in the list if it's such an easy pick? It's widely known and widely popular, and it's a good introductory game for kids to learn strategy and stuff, but I think, yeah, that would be an easy one to get rid of.
There's a couple here that are a little bit younger. I wouldn't miss, obviously, Chutes and Ladders.
But I still would rather play Chutes and Ladders than Connect Four.
Me too. yours is Connect Four.
I don't think I even really liked it as a kid. Again, it's on the list because it's wildly popular and wildly known. But I think even as a kid, it was just like a glorified version of Tic-Tac-Toe.
It's just a Tic-Tac-Toe.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a clever way of playing Tic-Tac-Toe. Oh, we'll use four instead of three, and we'll let all the pieces drop at the bottom.
Yeah, and that piece at the bottom always broke, and so the pieces would always just fall through. Another cheap plastic game, yeah. All right, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us down a little bit of memory lane, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as you enjoy playing these games. And you know what? Here's a little message to you listeners. Grab your family. Grab one of these games. Sit down. Play with your family, because they too might have some memories that they can share when they're adults on a podcast. Remember, in front of every silver lining, there's a cloud, and today, it was Connect Four. All right, see you guys in 4 months. Go back and check out some old episodes. Our next episode will be the dead celebrities of 2021. Who was the worst of the best celebrity to die in 21? All right. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, brother. Safe sails.
Thank you.
Gamma Gator Productions.